You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. She may be very, very busy with her double major in mechanical engineering and engineering physics, but Kettering University student Ruth Willett always finds time for her passion, amateur radio, a.k.a. ham radio.
Kilo Mike for Lima Alpha Oscar from Echo Mike 82. Echo Mike 82.
Seneca, North Carolina, Fox Mike 0573.
QSL, thanks.
And even in this era of FaceTime and Skype, the Kettering sophomore is doing her best to fire up enthusiasm on campus for amateur radio. Ruth Willett is with us now. Ruth, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk with you today.
So for anyone who has not seen it in action, what is amateur radio?
So amateur radio is an exciting service and hobby that allows you to have two-way communication really anywhere in the world. So when most people think of radio, you know, you're thinking of like AM or FM radio that you just can listen to. But radio is really a lot more than that. It really allows you to have communication anywhere. And amateur radio is a set of bands that are in the radio spectrum that are dedicated specifically for amateur radio operators who have passed the FCC license. And once they pass a license and they're eligible to get on the air, they can talk around the world using this mode of communication.
And when and how did you discover amateur radio?
I got interested in amateur radio because I wanted to learn Morse code. I'd always been kind of interested in it, and I really piqued my interest when I started learning about World War II in high school. So I started teaching myself some Morse code, and I mentioned it to a friend one day, and they told me that if I got my amateur radio license, I could actually talk to people using Morse code today. So I decided to get my license so I could communicate using Morse code.
So it just kind of pulled you in. What did you like about it? Why did it catch your interest?
It really was a combination of there is such a amount of learning that you can do because amateur radio, there's three levels of licenses that you can get, each one giving you an increased amount of privileges on the amateur radio bands. And each license requires you to learn more material, learn more about how radio works. And it was very fascinating to learn how that works. In addition, there's such a great amount of people that are willing to help you. And as soon as I got licensed, there was a community of people from around the world that were just so excited that I was an amateur radio operator. And they welcomed me, they mentored me, they encouraged me. So it's really a combination of just the always learning new things, new activities, as well as being connected with a wonderful group of people.
So give us an idea, Ruth Willett, of a typical session. Let's say you're at home, you've got your radio in front of you. What do you do and who do you talk to?
That's a very good question. So we have so many different amateur radio bands that have different characteristics according to what time of day it is, because the radio signals, they bounce off the ionosphere, and it really depends what time of day to see how far they go. So I really pick whatever band I want to talk on, depending how far I want to talk. If I just want to talk around town, or if I want to talk to someone, say, in California, or if I want to talk around the world, say, to Europe. So I pick a frequency, and I sit down, and I either find someone I want to talk to that I can hear, and I give them my call sign. That's Kilo Mike 4 Lima Alpha Oscar. I give them my call sign to let them know that I want to talk with them. Or I sit down and I start calling CQ. That's amateur radio term for calling any station. And anybody else who's on the radio and wants to talk can call me.
And then what do you talk about?
Really anything. The weather, you know, what our radios are, what our job is. It's really open-ended. You can talk about really whatever you want. When you're on the radio, there's kind of two main tracks what people tend to do. You either tend to have the long conversations and really talk about anything under the sun, or you can do something called contesting, which is a fast-paced competitive event where you can test your skills as an amateur radio operator, as a copier, as how fast you can talk to people clearly and succinctly, and you can try to talk to as many people as you can in, say, 24 hours.
I'm interested. What's the most exotic place where someone's been you've talked to?
One of the most unique was I talked to someone operating maritime mobile on a cruise ship. And in terms of countries, I've almost talked to 100 countries, but I think one of the most exciting was talking to the Isle of Man.
That little dot in the Atlantic. We have, Ruth, seen times when the amateur radio community has really pitched in and helped in natural disasters. Case in point, Puerto Rico, right? How did hams help Puerto Rico?
That is correct. Public service is really a backbone of amateur radio. So there are amateur radio operators that are prepared to go and help when emergencies happen. They prepare, they have all their equipment ready, they train so that they know what to do when such things happen. So after the hurricanes last year, there was a number of amateur radio operators that were deployed. They took their portable equipment and whatever they needed to get on the air, and they went down to Puerto Rico. They helped both by just serving the community as well as giving the valuable communication so that there could be information coming to and from the island in those critical days after the hurricanes.
Now, I remember hearing about school amateur radio clubs when I was in school, back in the Stone Age in the 60s, but nothing about it when my kids were in school in the 90s and the 2000s. And I understand you're looking to kind of revive Kettering's amateur radio club. When did that club start and how long has it been dormant?
That is correct. So there's been an amateur radio club at Kettering University off and on as far back as the 1950s, as far as I know. Because of Kettering's unique schedule where we are at, it's a co-op system where we're at school for 11 weeks and then we go work for an engineering company and then we come back to school. We go back and forth and the club's kind of been up and down depending on student interests and whatnot. So it's kind of went dormant, I think, about 10 to 15 years ago. But there still was like a couple antennas on the one of our buildings, and the club call sign trustee who'd been involved with the club is still at Kettering. So when I got to school, I knew that there used to be a club there, and I knew I wanted to bring it back. So I started talking with the club call sign trustee, talking with other faculty members and students, drumming up interest with people around campus. And then I just worked through the club approval process from Kettering, and we got approval.
So do you have people signed up yet?
Yes, we do. We have between 10 and 15 members right now. We're working on that public support and getting advertising around campus. We're very excited that just last weekend we hosted a technician level amateur radio class. So that's the first level of amateur radio license. And it's open to the public and Kettering students. And we had a couple of students that came and got licensed. And we have quite a few more who want to get their amateur radio licenses when we do the class next time.
How has ham radio influenced your view of the world, of other countries?
It's really opened up my view of the world. It's very fascinating what you can learn about different people. And it's definitely made me a much better person being able to have conversations and get to know people anywhere around the world.
So it's made the world a smaller place. So to people who say, well, why do we need ham radio? We can Skype, we can FaceTime. What do you say?
When all else fails, there's amateur radio. Amateur radio does not rely on the internet or anything besides a radio and a wire antenna and the ionosphere to be able to get signals out. So even when all other forms of communication are down, amateur radio operators can communicate. And it's really thrilling to have that knowledge and to explore activities within amateur radio that interest me, all along knowing that if an emergency happens, I can be ready to stand in and help pass communication.
Ruth Willett, Kettering University sophomore, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking with you today.